Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
What a glorious day to be alive. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Alive to love is who I am. I'm trusting that you will give me the privilege of your time for the next half an hour so that you too can join me in this pursuit to be alive to love. All lesser priorities are potential BS. Let's live up to the beauty, the scenarios, the specter, and the grand vista of the adventure of love. Alive to love, that's what I want to talk to you about today, and I want to go straight to the notion that I'm sure as you listen to this broadcast today that you are looking at the new year, that you're either a day or two ahead of it or a day or two into it, or maybe weeks if you've listened to the archived versions of this broadcast. I welcome you to join me in a pursuit of evaluating your priorities, evaluating what we typically call New Year's resolutions. I want you to join me in an evaluation, an internal inventory, if you will, of what we are, where we're going, what life needs to look like, and to raise our sights to something more grand, more significant, and of higher value than maybe we've ever lived before. Now, before you despair at the words I just said, let me tell you that I believe that all of life is lived moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day. As we venture forward, we don't venture in large, giant steps toward our goals that we reach them in a week or a month or even a year, but we take one step at a time. You could compare it to a football game. There are four downs to get a first down. You don't score, if your team is down by 20 points, there's no such thing as a 20-point touchdown. You simply have to go at it one down at a time, one run at a time, one pass at a time, one score at a time to make up for a 20-point deficit. Life is that way. We're not going to make it all up in one fell swoop. You're not going to be able to create all that you want in one day. But you certainly can do 1,000 little things every day toward the higher goals of love. Being alive to love, it looks like making a decision moment by moment. Being alive to love, it looks like loving the exact precise moment that you are breathing right now. I am a great student, I should say. I was going to say fan, but I'm a student of cognitive therapy, which has a lot to do with our internal dialogue. You don't talk to anybody more than you talk to yourself. You and I are always talking to ourselves. I hear people say that they talk to God all the time, and I wish that were true. I hope it's true. Maybe it is for somebody, but I personally believe the more realistic evaluation of that is you're talking to yourself more than you talk to God. That's okay, because it makes you a normal human being. And if you engage God in your internal conversation with yourself, that's a great deal. But cognitive therapy has to do with telling yourself the truth. Cognitive therapy has to do with combing through, taking an inventory, managing your thoughts moment by moment, day by day, segment by segment, until you can really comb through the things and the truths or the non-truths that are living inside your brain. Heaven and hell are 6 inches between your ears. Heaven and hell live right up there, and the more you build heaven, the more you'll have heaven. The more you build hell, the more you'll suffer hell when you have it between your ears. Your ongoing, personal, talking to yourself narrative is the most powerful conversation you're maintaining. Keep it loaded with love. Keep it loaded with goodness and courage, and life will turn toward the beauties, the enjoyment. But if you keep it lowered to fear and hatred, you'll live a practical atheism. A constant anxiety will fill your life. And there may be serious reasons for anxiety, but you can enhance them or you can marginalize them. I'm personally I can easily be given to anxiety and worry. Easily. I've learned it from thousands of people around me, not the least of whom was my own mother, who I, with all due respect and love, and God bless you, Mom, you're in heaven watching me. But listen, Mom was the queen of codependency. She was an enabler. She was consistently living somebody else's life, and rather than living the pleasure of her own life. And it was sad to watch, but she taught me how to be anxious. She taught me how to worry. If there wasn't something to worry about, then we ought to worry that we're not worried. If we're not anxious about something, boy, there's something really wrong now, because we ought to have anxiety. But I'm telling you that I believe in a cognitive therapy sort of view of life, that all of those matters are constructed or deconstructed between your ears in an ongoing personal talking to yourself narrative, that we can, now hear this carefully, we can insert and keep it bathed in love. So if this is the new year going into it for you, or if you're already into the new year, let me challenge you in 2020, let's be the lovers of life. Let's be alive to love. One resolution, alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. Let's go there. Make that your resolution. Hey, it's mine. It's not just the title of this broadcast, but I'm alive to love. I want to be alive to love my wife, to be alive to love my job, alive to love my children, to love my grandchildren, to love my home, to love my neighborhood, to love my community, to love my nation, and to love my world. I believe love is possible when we draw from the wells of love rather than drawing from the wells of hatred or fear. If we continue to draw from the wells of bitterness and fight and misery and shaking a fist at the other side, we're drawing from the wells of that are poisonous. They're poisoning our thoughts. It's poisoning our emotions, and it's creating for us a significant sense of ultimate failure. And that in itself is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Make your ongoing personal talking to yourself narrative the narrative of love. When you see things that are unlovable, talk yourself into being a lover of that which seems unlovable. So that's where we're going to spend the last 20 minutes of today's broadcast, and that is to make love, being alive to love, our New Year's resolution, our highest life priority, to see to it that we are aimed at and pointed in the direction of one step at a time to be lovers of life, to be alive to love. So let me talk about three basic influences in this matter, three basic challenges as we go through life. We're all in these three categories. And the first is when we're related to anybody on some level is that which we would call our, ready for it now, this is a deep thought, that's our relationships. So on the level of our relationships, aim your view of all your relationships to be the view of love. I'm in this person's life to love them. I'm not in this person's life to change them. I'm not in this person's life to manipulate them, to BS them, to get them to do what I want to do. I'm alive to love this person. I've intersected this person to be a lover of this person. I'm not here to see to it that they're condemned or judged. I'm not here to see to it that they feel shame or that they feel some significant notion of how much they've failed. No, I'm alive to love this person. So if I'm alive in my relationships to love, then I need to learn how to be a person of encouragement, a person of generosity and joy. Encouragement, generosity, and joy contributes love to every relationship. My boss, if I have a boss in my work or life, then that intersection has given me an opportunity to be a lover of my boss. Or if I'm a boss and I have people underneath me that I'm challenged to supervise, well, every one of them is my personal challenge to be alive to love them, to be alive to encourage them, to be alive to be generous with them, and to be alive to give them joy. So first of all, we're all in three categories I'm going to talk about. First is in relationships. We all have relationships. Even the person who has run away from society, who's gone into the woods or to the desert or to high mountains or wherever they've gone to run away and seclude themselves, they have a relationship. Yes, they do. Every person, every last person on earth has a relationship, even if it is just with their own narrative, their own internal dialogue with themselves. They have a relationship, and of course that relationship alone is a solo relationship, which promises a sheer sense of loneliness. But the point is, wherever you go, there you are. Somebody once said, wherever I went, well, I found myself there. I heard a guy one time tell his story of alcoholism and addiction. He said, I thought I got to get away from everybody. Everybody's my problem. The reason I drink, the reason I'm using is because all these people around me are a mess. Well, this particular person was a wealthy soul and he had a lot of means to him. So he decided, well, I'm going to buy a sailboat and I'm going to get out in the middle of the ocean. I'm going to get away from all people. Because it's people that are my problem. If it wasn't for people, I wouldn't be addicted. If it wasn't for my wife, my kids, my grandkids, my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents, if it wasn't for mom and dad, I wouldn't be addicted. I'd be free as a bird. So he bought a sailboat, and he went out in the middle of the ocean, and he had an awakening out there in the middle of the ocean. He said, you know what? I ran away from all of society and family and life, and I got in the middle of the ocean, and guess what? I discovered I was there with me. And he said, I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear being alone with me. So one of the three things that is a truism for all our lives is we all have relationships. And we need to make step by step, minute by minute, breath by breath, decisions to be alive to love. So that's first of all. That's one category. The second category of life is all that we put our hand to, the things that we do. We are all doers of something. We are doing, whether it's building something, or we're a baker, or we're a candlestick maker, as it has been said, or we're parenting. Whatever in life is your task day by day, that's what you do. So when you do what you do, do it with love. Let everything you do be done with love. Make love your aim. So when you have your doing has the impetus of love behind it, well, then you're going to do it with generosity. You'll do what you do in a generous sense, which means that if you're a baker, you make an extra cookie for somebody to give it away. Or if you're a builder of something, you see to it that all you do in an assembly line is you're turning bolts to make sure that the widget that you're building is a good widget, just turn it just a little more with love, making sure that your love has been inserted in what you do. We are all doing something right now. Some of you are listening to this broadcast, and it's all you're doing. You put everything aside. You put your phone down. You decided to just listen. Or maybe you're listening by your phone, and you're not doing anything else. But you're giving me the privilege of your time. Let it be done with love. And I guess it may be self-serving for me to say, but as you listen to me, love me. Just love me, all right? Just give me the privilege of this half an hour of your love. And give me the opportunity to challenge you in the new year, 2020, to be alive to love, to have one resolution, to love. I'm alive. I'm eating, breathing, sleeping, resting, exercising, all for the purpose of being a lover. So I said we had three categories in all of our lives. We are all involved in three things. First of all, we're all involved in relationships. Hey, I forgot to say earlier, you know, somebody said, boy, God must be sick of this old world. And, you know, the relationship of God to his world is absolutely drenched and soaked in one thing, love. The most famous Bible verse of all, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. There is no condemnation in love, no fear in love. God has loved the world. He's determined that that's who he is and what he's going to be. So Even in God's relationship to the world, he loves the world, and we love him because he loved us first. So we're all involved in relationships. Make your goal, your New Year's resolution, to be alive to love in relationships. Number two, we're all doing something. Make all that you do to be alive to love in everything you do, the smallest things. Mother Teresa said, none of us can do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. Now I come to the last category of all of our lives. We are all in relationships. Number two, we are all doing something. And number three, we are all, every one of us in this world, to be in this world as a center of joy. That joy be the serious business of our life. Listen, listen, listen. You are in relationships, you are doing something, and you are created for love, yes, but out of your love, let there be a wellspring of joy. My privilege in life has been to, as a pastor for almost a half a century, to see people in the worst days of their lives. When I've gotten midnight calls, I know it can't be good. When I get an early morning call, I know it can't be good. I've lost count of the early morning calls that I get with sobs on the other side of the phone, where somebody's just lost a child to a terrible car accident, or a spouse has just been hurried to the hospital on a thread to life. And I have determined, yes, of course, as the baseline of everything, to be a lover. But everybody I know is looking for one moment to breathe in and find joy, even in their darkest moments. Even in the moment when life seems like it's just all crashing in. We're all in relationships. We're all doing something. But may everything we have be wrapped up with the shining light of joy. I believe love is the wellspring of joy. Love is the wellspring of joy. I'm convinced that all of joy can be derived from being lovers. So I'm also challenging everybody I know to find love, and then to find ways to express joy. Now listen, joy and happiness are awfully tightly, wonderfully woven together. I don't make a distinction between the two. Some people do. Some people say, well, happiness is something that's greater than joy, and joy is greater than happiness. I don't make a delineation between the two, because for me that's a little bit too straining at the whole concept. Joy is the sense that I have this one chance at life, that in this one chance of life, I'm here to be a light, to make burdens lighter for other people. And that's what joy is about. Joy is seeing to it that I'm bearing somebody else's burden, even if it is just a little bit, to give them a reason to walk away and have a sense of pleasure, a sense of happiness, a sense of joyousness. As a young lad, I found myself in a lot of terrible, terrible, dysfunctional family matters. My family of four, it was my brother and me and my mom and dad, we were in an addictive cycle. And in that addiction cycle, I was as a clinical psychologist would tell you, I was the lost child. So for me, it was always hiding from the fights, hiding from the misery, hiding from the addiction cycle. And I discovered somewhere in that process, I discovered Red Skelton. You know, Red Skelton. I think of his Gertrude and Heathcliff, two seagulls flying over the ocean. I think of all the characters he played. And I'm smiling right now. You can see it on the radio, right? I'm smiling just to think of Red Skelton. He brought joy into my life. One thing, just as an instinctive reaction to that as a child, was I discovered that I need to laugh. Every day, something needs to bring me to a smile. So out of that, when I'm alive to love, I'm also seeking to spread joy. I want, and you know what, by the way, the first nutritional benefit of joy is for me. It's for me. I should be able to make myself laugh. I found myself, even in recent days, I've done a lot of driving around the region, and if I'm listening to the radio, there's an awful lot of joylessness there. There's an awful lot of serious business going on the radio. I have found myself going for, hours with that serious business going on and recognizing, oh my gosh, my love tank is getting depleted here. I need to shut the radio off, build my love tank, and find some joy in life. So in that regard, when I build up my love tank, and out of that tank, that reservoir of love, I'm pulling joy. I can tell myself some funny stories and make myself smile. I can remind myself of a funny time, or I can just remind myself of something that brought me sheer pleasure and give myself a smile. If nobody else is going to make you smile, make yourself smile. If nobody else is going to give you a sense of joy, give yourself a sense of joy. Joy is the relaxed idea. It's the idea that life really has pleasantries and goodnesses all around. Life really does carry some of the greatest artistic expressions. Even if you're out in the woods or you're doing a tough, dirty job, there's joy to be found everywhere. Let me give you a couple of stories of finding joy, even when it seems like there's no joy to be found. Many years ago, I had a great friend and a guy who was in leadership in a church I pastored down in Clyde, Texas. And this guy's name was Clyde. Clyde was a 6'4", skinny, raw, rugged rancher Texan. Man, this guy could have been the Marlboro Man. He was rough. His face was leather. But Clyde had a delightful smile. And he tells the story. Oh, my goodness. Now, brace yourself. I hope this brings you some joy. Clyde was a guy who loved to reach out to the downtrodden. He loved, because he had that tall, tough Texan visage, he could go into prisons and into jails and just talk to prisoners there as a chaplain, and he did some devotions in a couple of jails in the area around there. So he was going to this particular jail, and he kept asking the authorities there if he could go to some of the harder prisoners. Well, they took him to this one guy who was in solitary confinement, and Clyde went in there with no fear. Clyde was a fearless guy, and Clyde went in to this solitary confinement, and he went down into this cell area. There was still bars between them, and he started to talk to this gentleman behind the bars. Well, this gentleman was just as hardcore as you could imagine. Well, this guy, while Clyde was talking to him and trying to bring a little love and joy into his life, this guy reached under his cot, pulled some kind of coffee can or something out, and hurled it through the bars at Clyde. And you know what it was? It was human excrement. It was human excrement that he tossed at Clyde, and it went all over Clyde's face. And the guy shouted some expletives at him and told him to get out of there. Well, Clyde turned around and he said, I went out the door, out the side door, and started to call for the guard to get me out of there. He said, this nastiness was dripping off my face. And he said, and suddenly in that moment, I discovered the laughter of that moment. He said, I started to grin at what a wild expression of hatred and misery this man threw at me. And so Clyde turned around, went back into that cell, toward that cell, with his face still nasty, looked at the guy and said, well, I know I don't feel any better after that. How about you? And the guy laughed, and Clyde laughed, and Clyde apparently wiped his face with his sleeve, and he went on about his conversation with this fellow. Well, many years ago, without knowing how they would encounter each other again, Clyde got a letter from that guy, and that guy said, you changed my life. You took what was for me an expression of hatred and misery, and you turned it into love and joy. My goodness. So I have ever since then reminded myself, no matter how miserable the rejection may be, I can find joy. The other side of it, I was going to tell you two stories. I'm going to tell you a quick one here. My time is running short, but I look for eagles. I know many of you do that. I'm an eagle watcher. My wife and I have gone a couple of places up and down the Mississippi to catch the eagles as they come and go. But even in daily life, I look for eagles. And when I look for an eagle, I am determined to find joy in that moment. I'm determined to see to it that eagle sighting for me is a point of pleasure, a point of joy, a point of happiness, something that's going to make me smile. I'm going to take that moment as a sign from heaven that heaven has found joy in me. C.S. Lewis said, he said, the serious business of heaven is joy. So since God is love and the serious business of heaven is joy, then we ought to build our love tank up to be so full of energy that everything we do and everything we say and everybody we meet and every circumstance we enter, we're bringing joy. So I told you we're all involved in three elements of life. One's our relationships, one's in what we do, and we are all on this earth to be a source of joy. And our joy doesn't have to be uproarious laughter like a Red Skelton joke, but our joy can be something so settled on the inside of us because love has anchored us. Love holds us in the center of God's beauty. Then joy erupts from that. So as I close today in these last few minutes, let me just, if I could, through the radio, through this podcast, through this moment, if I could just look everybody right in the eye, I want to close by telling you, listen to me carefully. You are loved. Love has found a focus, and it's you. You are the target for all of love. Love has been looking for you. You are alive to love. You're alive to be loved, and you're alive to love. As you go into the new year, may your sights be risen to the pinnacle, to the heights, to the Everest, the Alps, to the Rocky Mountain high of being a lover. You're alive to love. Don't lower your life to the BS. Don't let the BS take over your life and sink you into a joyless, loveless existence. You're alive to love. Stay on the trek, one step at a time, to be alive to love. In this new year, be a lover. Love in your relationships, love in what you do, and love to be a joyous person. Make joy and love your highest purpose every day of every moment. And you will find in those three categories of your life a satisfaction that nobody can take from you. I'm Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I was here today just to tell you one thing. You're alive to love. As we enter the new year, let's live for the beauties and the transcendency of love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.